Good morning to you. This is Luca Maino. This is Luca's World. How's everybody doing on Saturday? I'm not going to get into the time frames because they're too complicated. Pacific time, Eastern time. Good Lord. It's just a good morning, and I want to thank everybody for being on RBN. And before we start the show right where we left off in the last one, we're still talking about matriarchy versus the life we're living today, and we probably always will. And I'm looking at the pictures rolling across the top of RBN's webpage, and you wonder what's going on, like drag queens in church, the real Alex Jones finally stands up, open borders, which we're probably used to by now, which because nobody's doing anything about it, you know, it's causing an incredible amount of damage. Quarantine camps already, you know, just the words quarantine camps floating around, but that's being thrown down by the courts in New York. So we got to watch out. It, you know, everything's coming. It seems like they're always doing that. They always throw something at us to let us know, and then it goes away. And then pretty soon it comes back. They just want to let us know, and then it goes away. I'm waiting to see that done on the vitamins and the essential supplements that they're always talking about wanting to ban, just like they wanted to ban, marijuana and cannabis products. So, most of us wonder, like, do our governments really care? Well, let's talk about this government here in particular. I mean, does it really care about human life? I sat down and I just kind of pondered that for the last few years, and I'm coming up with two really good suggestions. And like my grandmother would say, I ask you, you know, in her Austrian/German accent, I ask you, what about our government? Do you think they really care about human life or about life in general? Aside from theirs, of course. Item number one, gunship practice. They don't care about human life, obviously. They want to end all life. And, you know, for some strange reason, they want to empty the oceans and make life impossible for all of us. Okay, so there's gunship practice aboard an aircraft carrier. And you're ending up with over 6-inch deep carpet of empty cases, brushing them off the side into the ocean. And what are they? They're shots, bullets made of solid depleted uranium-238. No, not coated, not tipped. Made from spent fuel rods of nuclear reactors, 50 caliber munitions, about 1,500 rounds per minute, shot right into the ocean or, you know, in the air, right off the ship for practice. Uranium-238, pure radioactive material, right into the ocean. Doesn't matter, right? We're practicing. No life matters but ours. Item number two, John Pilger. In World War III is upon us. I have the link for people who are interested in that for sources, perhaps. This is a quote from him. And I'm quoting now. Few seem aware that the bikini swimsuit was named to celebrate the nuclear reactions that destroyed the nuclear explosions that destroyed Bikini Island. 66 nuclear devices were exploded by the United States and the Marshall Islands between 1946 and 1958. Hold on now. That's the equivalent of 1.6 Hiroshima bombs every day for 12 years. I want to repeat that again. 66 nuclear devices. You know what it's like when one goes off, right? They film it and they're so proud and it's photographed and it's sent around the world. Between 1946 and 1958, the equivalent of 1.6 Hiroshima bombs every day for 12 years. And then it goes on to say that Bikini is silent today, mutated and contaminated. Palm trees grow in a strange grid formation. Nothing moves. There's no birds. The headstones in the cemetery are alive with radiation. And his shoes register unsafe on a Geiger counter. I had to share that with you because that's, you know, for people who care about human life, and, you know, we're seeing more and more of this all day, every day, every night. This is why it's for some people, it's a spiritual war. So, again, I wanted to start this show off with what we had cut off at the very end of our show last time. And we talked about Christina Anderson and her famous quote, quote, "This vaccine campaign will go down as the biggest scandal in medical history," Anderson declared, adding, "Moreover," and she's talking in the European Parliament, she says, "moreover, it will be known as the biggest crime against, I'm sorry, the biggest crime ever committed on humanity." That's a quote. We heard from America's frontline doctors who were exposing corruption and criminality in our government, speaking of how justice is being two-tiered. And we heard from the ex-director of Greenpeace, Dr. Patrick Moore, who talks about his baby, his original work. And this is the first clip that I wanted to play in its entirety, if our producer is ready. And by the way, I wanted to say thank you to our producer, a very heavy and very huge and very big thank you to our producer, Sam, who's working hard on the weekends. And he's going to make it possible for us to hear this. This is Dr. Patrick Moore speaking from the ex-director for Greenpeace. Let's have a listen to what he says. And we can say, like they said, "Play It Again, Sam," right? Isn't that a movie, "Play It Again, Sam"? I thought that was kind of cute. So let's listen to the clip together.
Two things happened as Greenpeace grew. First, it grew into more of a business than a campaigning organization, because now we had 2,000 employees, and we had to raise enough money to pay them their salaries. So your priorities start to shift a bit. Secondly, Greenpeace decided to describe humans as the enemies of the Earth, whereas we had started off with a strong humanitarian vision as well as environmental. The peace in Greenpeace is to stop humans from destroying themselves with nuclear war. So you had to care about people. But in the end, the environmental movement decided to characterize humans as the enemies of nature. In other words, we're the only evil species. All the other ones are good. And that's way too much like original sin for me. I'm not a fire and brimstone kind of guy. I believe that humans are part of nature. Well, because they are. That's why I believe they're part of nature. And there's way more good people than there are bad people. I suppose there's bad animals too, like rogue elephants. And
I know four
like
factors about it. I mean, that's just, I've had experience with some of them.
My father was a logger, and so was I. So were all the people around me, and fisher people too. So we knew that you had to take from nature in order to survive. And there's simply no question of that. And that's why these campaigns today to stop using energy are so stupid, because there's 8 billion people. And so I have a balance about this. It's not a one-sided situation. Of course we have to protect the planet. That's what feeds us. But we also have to keep ourselves alive. And people don't understand how short a time it takes for you not to have any food before you disappear from this life, because nobody's experienced it much in recent years. But we're now facing a situation where a huge number of very powerful organizations and elites at an international and at national levels are calling for policies that are basically a suicide pact, basically a death wish of some sort. And it's true, they might not want to say it out loud, but there's a lot of people who think there's too many people. And I think that's ridiculous myself. We're quite well off now than we were before. Just 20 years ago, we're better off now with the technology and the knowledge of the science we have.
Dr. Moore, you're saying these organizations or these corporations, who are you referring to? You're talking about the World Economic Forum? Who are you referring to?
Well, let's start there, yes.
Okay. You probably have some choice words for Klaus Schwab, I assume?
Yeah, the guy who said we'll own nothing and be happy.
Yeah.
And
can you put up his picture so people know what he looks like? He's a sweetheart. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a sad situation that we have come to. I didn't realize it could possibly ever get this serious, as mm-hmm. I've gone through like 45, 50 years of evolution with this train of thought. And when climate change first came up as an issue, I realized that we were being duped, and it was all about money. 80% of all the science research in the United States is in universities. They have basically become money milling machines, getting government grants to tell the politicians what they want. Mm-hmm. What the politicians want is stories that make people afraid. So you're driving down the freeway in your SUV, you're afraid you're killing your grandchildren. That makes you feel guilty. That makes you open your wallet and send a big check to Greenpeace. Mm-hmm. That the politician then exaggerates that in the public. The media exaggerates it. The activists exaggerate it. And the scientists are the silent part of it in a way, because nobody sees the money going from the politicians to the scientists. It goes through bureaucrats at state, city, national, international levels. And that money is meant to create narratives that will scare people, and that makes mm-hmm. them easier to control.
And that's exactly how it works, folks. And every time you hear a clip like that, you get little hints. You know, they're like little things that resonate in your heart. And it's like, oh, you know, to some people, it won't even resonate. To 9 people out of 10, it won't resonate. For you, ping, right in the heart chakra, big time. It's all about fear. Everybody knows that. We're always talking about the same thing. That's what the media is doing. It's pumping out all this stuff to keep us talking about it all the time. But we're never really getting to the solution, because nobody's digging down deep enough to find out what happened for all this to happen. You know, like that Native American saying that I'm always going to share with you people, who started the trouble? You know, it's like the story of the red ants and the black ants. They get along. You put them both in a jar. You put a whole bunch of black ants and a whole bunch of red ants in a jar. You close it. Nothing will happen. You go and shake the jar. All of a sudden, the red ants think the black ants are at fault. The black ants think the red ants did it. And they kill themselves. They kill each other. And it's not the red ants or the black ants. It's the person who shook the jar. And this is exactly what they're doing to us. So I said to myself, okay, in a diabolically evil system like we have, and, you know, that most people can't even wrap their head around, including me, why is it being done this way? What's the reason? They indoctrinate. Oh, well, my other show, Learn to Unlearn, was called that for that reason. Yeah, they teach high school, universities, and so on, right? So that you can follow their rules. You don't know anything, and that's how you start. And they indoctrinate you, just like they did with the Indian. They form and mold what they want from you. You know, they mold us, just like in the Matrix, from a young age, into something that they and their criminal enterprise can possibly, you know, either bribe or extort or blackmail you with later on, with ridiculous debt also. And it's all about control. So if our producer would be so kind as to give us an introduction to this, another masterpiece that I found, it's a less than 3-minute clip on education. And I had to share this with you people, because this is, you know, it's exactly, you know, when there's something wrong with the house, you're not looking on the roof, right? You're looking, what's the foundation like? How's the foundation built? The cracks in the foundation, there's the problem. So this is a really good clip explaining what I've been trying to talk about for the last 20 years. It's on education. Let's have a listen.
The model of going to school to learn is relatively new. Before 1900, most children learned at home and out in the real world. In 1837, the state of Massachusetts formed the first state board of education, with Horace Mann as its secretary. Mann believed that everyone was entitled to the same content in education. Returning from a research trip to Germany in 1848, Mann lobbied heavily to have the Prussian model adopted. He quickly set about establishing a statewide system of common schools, staffed by professionally trained teachers. His ideas quickly gained momentum, and by 1852, Massachusetts passed a compulsory attendance law. Man man also believed that school could become a great equalizer, and values such as obedience to authority, promptness in attendance, and organizing time according to bell ringing would help students prepare for future employment in an industrial age.
And the whole purpose of it is to create a docile factory military workforce.
There you go.
And the whole purpose is to subordinate children and get them in that mindset of being subordinated so they grow up to be subordinated adults.
This is the poorest class I've had.
Prussian schooling had been out to destroy the imagination. In every public library worth its salt in the United States and in every college library, you will find a collection of essays by a Prussian philosopher, Johann Fichte. Fichte said we have to set up a system of universal forced schooling in which we destroy the imagination. Bells, ordered lessons, constant testing, rankings.
The entire system is designed to regiment a large group of people and to get them all to do the exact same thing.
By 1900, 34 states had compulsory schooling laws. Half the nation's children attended one-room schools. And by 1918, every state required students to complete elementary school.
The reality is they want children to take their place in society, be cogs, and keep this system going. So you're going to school to take your place.
Now the trouble's with your attitude. You don't pay enough attention in class. You don't do enough work outside of it.
Okay, so in less than 17 minutes of this program, we just talked about fear, getting people to be docile, getting people to be subordinate. And then what they just said in 1918, that all states did this elementary school forcing thing on kids. 1918, right? That's the same year, and I'm going to keep hammering on this. I'm sorry if people heard me say it before. Rudolf Steiner comes out with a 13-lecture series that's still on YouTube. It's hard to believe. And he talks about the dark energies and how he says that we should entrust materialistic doctors into vaccinating the children as young as possible, even from birth, to spare them the madness of spiritual life. We know what that means. See, there's so many things to talk about, and there's so many ingredients that are thrown at us so fast. So they educate us, right, only to come at us 30 years later when you represent a problem for them. And before I go on, I'm sorry, I forgot this twice already. The phone lines are open for people to call in at 512-248-8252 or 1-800-313-9443. Always, my shows are always going to be done in honor of John Stadmiller. I'll always say that. Okay, so they train you. They form you, and you become a problem. And let's just be very clear. And I'm really going to nail this one to the wall. I'm sorry if people feel like they're being aimed at, but they're not. This is not a judgment call. This is an observation. The doctor's favorite nurse walks in after being asked to come in and see him in his office. She sits down like she always does in her favorite chair and looks puzzled. And we're going to find out what happened after the short break. This is Luca's World.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And Luca's world continues, and the producer always lets me ride this song like a wave. This is such a good way to get back into it. And I got to thank Bonnie Raitt for that one. I got it. Before we get to the calls, I'd like to start by finishing my story that we just talked about before the break. The doctor's favorite nurse walks in after being asked to see him in the office, and she sits down like she always does in her favorite chair, looking at him a little puzzled. And to her surprise, she says, "We have a new vaccine that everybody's going to be taking. Everybody on your floor, pretty much everybody in contact with the public. And we're scheduling our staff for the shots. So when would be a good day and time for you?" She says, obviously caught off guard. "With all due respect, sir, we've never spoken of this. And I do not believe in vaccination. And I'm in better health now than most of my staff. And I'm having a hard time even functioning with these masks that you're having us wear. Well, the staff are going to be vaccinated, and you're one of our best. So, sir, I'm not going to be taking vaccinations, and you know these are not really vaccines." And abruptly cutting her off, he slams, "Everyone is going to be taking the shots and boosters whenever they're going to be even suggested strongly by our government. It pays the hospital very well, too, so we cannot have any problems or any dissidents, you understand." Looking at her now, bowing her head and shaking it in disagreement, he says finally, "This is the kicker. You will be taking this vaccine like the rest of us," he continued, "or are you no longer a nurse? Because we can stop your practice right here." And that's exactly what they're doing to airline pilots, to doctors, to nurses, to even, you know, the best people on the planet. This is what that's called, bribery. And there's a whole list of those. And we have Laura on Michigan on line one. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Luca. Getting back to education, here's how I was explained it to people. They started calling teachers facilitators. And teachers are people who impart knowledge and facts. Facilitators change attitudes, values, and beliefs. That was the big change in education.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're all given a format. They're all given specific things to teach the students, and we have to fall in line, and most of us do. I was one of them that didn't. I would not. And, you know, it's kind of funny because when you speak better French yourself than the French teacher, it's good to hear you calling back, Laura. Thank you for calling. Did you want to add anything else?
Well, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks so much for calling. As I said, and as I will keep repeating, and I'm sorry if I'm beating this to death, but they really are dumbing us down with, you know, even the four things that the pineal gland is very, 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 very sensitive to, four varies from the Austrian doctor. And I don't think I can note them offhand. I don't believe I said that because I don't know if I can say that by heart. Aluminum, fluoride, Wi-Fi, and glyphosate. There you go. And we're the only country that's pushing these four things. Uh-huh. Okay. And big pharma, right? You know, and the education. You know, it's so well, people are starting to, you know, like get out of the box and look at this from further away. Back to the story. Remember the general and the police officer? They bring in a high-ranking general and shame him, discipline him because he called into question the illegal vaccine mandate. Army captain placed in mental hospital for accusing commanding General Patrick Donahoe of pushing illegal vaccines. See, and now the UN is talking about how we cannot have conspiracy theorists talking about one global elite that doesn't care about the rest of the world and pushing their own agenda. We cannot have them specifically talking about Israel either. And there's a very good reason for that. I think this is our last clip for the day. And this is very important to me. And that's why I made it a part of our show, because I didn't have it until like 45 minutes before the show. I was going to talk about this, but I actually found the clip. And this is an Ontario police officer, Aaron Howard, who's now charged. I'm going to go backwards. I'm first going to tell you what she's charged with. Under the Police Services Act, with two counts each of discreditable conduct, insubordination, and breach of confidence. Okay? This is the short version of the break. Okay, so the short version of the break. So when you come back from the break, we'll play that. But this is, it's to tell you, it's us versus them. And we're going to be talking about Rockefeller apathy and Rockefeller allopathy as well. I'm glad I said that. Petrochemicals, synthetics, and poisons when we come back as well. But before we change the subject, I have to give honor to Aaron Howard, the Ontario police officer. So we will go to the break and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
How does $49,000 relate to $7 trillion? I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. $7.1 trillion is what our federal government has authorized to spend on COVID one way or another so far. That number goes up every time Biden announces the next free test or free pill or free mask or free jab. but let's stick with 7.1 trillion for now. There were 144.3 million taxpayers last year. Let's do some math. Total COVID spending divided by the total number of taxpayers equals how much COVID has cost you. And that is $49,203. Remember, every billion the government spends costs you $7, and every trillion costs you $7,000. How long before the government demands your portion of the national debt? $243,000. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem Parabellum.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Obviously, the economic pain. What do you think the right balance is between the trade-off of protecting people's lives and the economic hit? I mean, do you see a situation where the global economy could be virtually at a standstill?
That's not the right one. Eric, they should be. We're just having problems with the Aaron Howard clip. Humanity Party. I'm sorry. That's my fault. I have to label the clips better more from now on. That would be that one. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey there. So I'm Constable Aaron Howard, coming to you from Ontario, Canada. I really wanted to give a shout out to all the truckers. I think what you guys are doing is incredible. You're fighting for our rights and freedoms. And right now it feels like we're a little bit at war and those rights and freedoms are at stake. So you guys are honestly true heroes. What you're doing is just incredible. I will be in Ottawa when you guys roll in. I'm going to be speaking on behalf of Police on Guard, and we are thrilled and honored to be able to be there. I can't wait to meet you guys. Hope to talk to a lot of you in person. Anyway, just wanted to give you guys a shout out and some support, and keep rolling, and we'll see you in Ottawa.
So, that was Aaron Howard, who is now charged under the Police Services Act with two counts each of discreditable conduct, insubordination, and breach of confidence. So it's always us versus them. And I just want to give a shout out to the call numbers again. It's 512-248-8252. That was a helicopter that just went by. And 1-800-313-9443. So this is what happens when they drew up their plans against us. This is another segment that even proves what's going on. And I need to talk about the World Economic Forum for a few minutes, because what they're doing is they're classifying us. And they have been in China with their social credit scores. And I believe that it's going to be coming here, if it isn't here already. And what I have my hands on is called the CSRQ/SM. And it's new software expected to be coming online after a financial reset and economic collapse. And the software, which is named CSRQ/SM, contains various class categories of world's population that greatly restrict freedom, capital, and private property, as well as enforces fines and vaccinations. So you have C, which is common. Then you have S, which is sovereign, meaning celebrities, government, media, rich and forceful, etc., etc. No ceiling on their total net worth or bank accounts. Then you have R, which is restricted, and Q, which is quarantine. So is it fact or fiction? You know, we don't really know, but it's important to throw these things around if they resonate with you. And I do have an address also that I can give our producer for the website if anybody's interested. But ironically, before the end of the show, I wanted to touch on two people in particular. And again, it's not a judgment call, it's an observation. And these people are getting highly paid for this criminal narrative and the protection of it. And I should say the protection they also have of the, you know, from the establishment in case of a blowback. It baffles me to no end. It really does. Just like those put options at the time of 9/11 with regard to both American and United Airlines, the betting on the stock falling because you might know something. And you're making money off of dead people. So, you know, it's amazing how low our standards are getting. And there are two instances of this. There's one lady called Scarf Lady. I thought that was, you know, pretty interesting. In one tweet, Dr. Peter McCullough, MD, MPH, calls her Scarf Lady. And she committed scientific fraud and misled the president, who was standing next to her at the time, that was Trump, and the nation into unnecessary lockdowns and restrictions based on the false presumption that the virus spread among healthy people. Asymptomatic spread. Hello. We have a problem with that, because now on December 15th, 2020, she told ABC, this is one of the most highly effective vaccines we have in our infectious disease arsenal. And then July 22nd, 2022, she says at Fox, "I knew these vaccines were not going to protect against infection. I think we overplayed the vaccines." So, you know, that's like my 92-year-old neighbor said, the masks are going to come off. You're going to find out who people really are, because the truth is coming out now, and this is what happens. So many things are coming to light now, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. It's called the truth wave. Here it comes, right? But here's another good one. Meet Alice Greenwald. See, this is what people don't understand. Before we talk about her, the broom pusher for the CIA on Sunday mornings, I'm just guessing, right? I'm just giving you a scenario. The big CIA emblem, the logo on the marble floor, whatever, when you walk in, the broom pusher and his family and his five grandchildren, karma doesn't care. If the CIA does something against the people, guess who's responsible? Right down to the broom pusher. and his family. Karma doesn't care. It's not like, well, you did this, so this is... No, karma knows best. And we sit there and we want to judge and we want to analyze. And, you know, we're playing with something very, very dangerous. So, you know, we had better be careful. You know, when I talk about pedophilia, also, I'll throw this in. If anybody knows their Bible, wow. Luke 17. That's all I'm going to say for this show. Luke 17. Have a listen or read that, if you will. Back to Alice Greenwald, okay? The 9/11 Memorial Museum director. She's been working in museums for over 30 years. You got to shape something from the ground up, right? On the surface, it all sounds so darn innocent, doesn't, and lovely, right? But deep down, it's so sinister. I had a hard time preparing this segment because it's the whole thing about the ground zero lie. Most people don't even know about it, and the other people don't even want to talk about it. It's like Nazi Germany, you know? It's such a traumatic thing that happened. Nobody can talk about it, and the people that do propagandize because it's so horrific. And the UN is making sure that us conspiracy theorists, like they're called, are just going to be stopped and kicked off the airwaves. And we're not, by the way, I'm going to take Ted Gunderson's way of saying it. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy realist. And we can prove just about everything we say on radio. So this whole ground zero lie has to be talked about. And I'm sorry for people if they heard me talk about it before. But not only was the crime of 9/11 executed by Israel under Rothschild orders and with the complicity of the U.S. and other Zionist nations, they're laughing at us even more because now the same people that did 9/11 build the memorial for it. And you can see Netanyahu sitting somber and standing next to the marble slabs with his hand on it, with the names of the victims on it, and he signs autographs. The architect of Ground Zero Memorial, Michael Arad, son of Israeli terrorist Moshe Arad. You know, this is a really good link I'd like to give you for that one is Christopher Bolin and his work on 9/11. It's bolin.com, B-O-L-L-Y-N.com for more on that. We go back to the phones and we have Dave in New York. Dave in New York. How did I say it? Park the car in New York.
No, that's New Hampshire. There's no R in it. But there's you put in R's where they aren't. Right? Hmm. That's New Hampshire. So anyway. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, but they speak funny in New York City. I'm not there. I'm in what's called more the boonies upstate. Not
cool.
Just Westchester.
Okay.
All right. But anyway.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, yes, hey, nice to talk to you. I heard a little bit of your show before, but didn't hear the whole thing. I recall you saying something about thinking that I don't know what your concept was that the COVID disease was just the flu or something. I don't recall what that was. Maybe you can refresh me what you thought.
I believe it's basically no worse than the bad case of the flu, and that it was weaponized like a bioweapon, like all the other ones, like Zika, like SARS, like AIDS. You know that's what they do. You know the 40 plus. Bioweapons labs in Ukraine, oh, okay, you know, something's illegal to be playing around with under Obama in 2015. Okay, let's move it to China. Everything...
But Luca, why would you say that it was no worse than the flu if it's weaponized?
Well, they're trying to play with stuff. And people that have a very, very low immune system are going to be crashing, which is what's already happening. You know, how do you say that? The vaccines weren't brought in because of COVID. COVID was, it was a carrier for the vaccines to be brought in, which is what they wanted. That's the real bioweapon. And
well,
I believe...
This is what I find to be what I observed. I mean, I observed a guy who had this sickness, and he had a sickness going around. He had intestinal stuff, which sometimes you have the diarrheal version of it. It gets into the microbes there. And... he went in the hospital, and they killed him, and he died. A little bit of both, you know. And another guy who got it from him, he was working with him and for a couple of days, and he was on a walker and oxygen for months. He was in the hospital for 2 months. We thought he was going to die. But he got out, and he's going around. But so I would never say that this was like the flu. The symptoms are much more worse. The damage, the lungs are showing glassy scarring sometimes, which is characteristic of this. And so it's much different than the flu. And you're right, a bioweapon should be worse than the flu. So I just wanted to give you that information,
yeah,
my perspective.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And there are so many different levels, too. I mean, we know that hospitals, thanks to Dr. Blaylock, we know that doctors, you know, the hospitals were getting paid up to $100,000 per patient that they could do away with, so they say. We're
yeah.
seeing so many things. You know, there's six people that drop dead, okay? It's that's what I mean. You can't just talk about COVID. We're talking about the vaccinations now, so it's... There's so many things coming at us from so many different angles that they're all immune from prosecution on.
I think they're only immune because of corruption in the system.
Yes.
If the system, if the laws were operating and people forced it, it would be different. But they've let this one go. They've let all laws and rules are subject to their discretion.
Right. And who built the court
and
system?
And control from the top. I mean, this is pretty much what
yeah.
I conclude. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
It's good to be on the same page with you. Thank you very much for that info.
And Lucas, there's one other thing. There's been, I tried to post this on the Liberty Beacon. I'll try again. There's been numerous high-resolution electron micrographs of tissue samples taken from COVID-infected people, and they show these spheres with spikes coming out of them. So I think that's very, very strong evidence for the SARS-CoV-2 virus particles. But that would, you know, that everyone needs to take a look at that and to see, because I think seeing is believing, and it's rather revealing all the interconnected research that's done there in those papers. I would send it to you or Roger, but I don't have an email for either of you. So,
oh, okay. It's my name backwards, MAJNOLUCA@gmail.com.
Great.
My name,
thanks. I'll pull it off
backwards.
The archives. Okay.
And,
thank you.
It's really important also, before you go, I really strongly want to emphasize what you're actually saying in a different way. It's kind of paraphrasing that we really have to take a step back and look at everything coming at us at once. And it's not coming at us from people that care. Do they care? Right? You know,
the cremation of care occurred, and Obama's health care, they didn't care.
You know, and that's a fact. You know, if people cared, we would be in good health. They don't. They need us either sick or gone, according to Mr. Schwab, which is what I was hoping to get to, but we don't have time
for that. Many people are saying, well, listen, this is a very poor way to get to 95% reduction in population. They haven't seen hardly any deaths. And it's true. I mean, what percentage of people got killed by the whole thing between COVID and the vaccines? I don't know, maybe.
And, you know, that's always—it's always such a low.
But that doesn't mean that there's going to be serious things, not serious things, coming out of this or other releases in the weakened population due to the jab. So very difficult to say where this is going to go.
I think it's going to be much stricter lockdowns. They're already destroying the food chain. They're already destroying the supply chain, and we're heading towards a very, very sad and precarious fall and winter. So, you know, I'm going to say, like everybody else says, stock up on whatever you can. You know, it's really sad to say that we have to think about ourselves, you know, and our own survival when our heart says the opposite.
Well, Luca, I think people need to cooperate and work with other people, not be arguing about whether this virus exists or not. Let's
exactly.
cooperate with other people and figure out. It's only by cooperation, not by selfishness, that we are going to win. Collectively.
And ego.
Together.
Ego's the big one.
Yeah. Nice talking to you. Okay.
Yes, thank you so much for calling.
Say hi to Roger for me. Thanks.
Yes, bye. I sure will. And it's great to have you guys call. Again, the phone call number, the numbers again are 512-248-8252 and 1-800-313-9443. To get back to Alice Greenwald, there's so much going for people to keep the lie alive. And the truth pretty soon isn't going to be important. They're going to go, yeah, 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 whatever. You know, Ed, that was then. This is now. Just like they're doing with the Native American thing. You know, Luca, get over it. You know, come with the times. Change with the times, right? Well, I'd like to share something I found directly from an article at thelibertybeacon.com. Quote, 9/11 Indoctrination Museum in New York City. And we're going to skip the last break. Yes, thank you, Sam. The urgency to cement narratives, okay? And I'm taking a quote right out of it. The mission of the 9/11 Memorial Museum is firmly intertwined in the Department of Education standards, Common Core, for indoctrinating the populace as soon and as early as possible. They have developed a curriculum about 9/11 for grades K through 12. Okay, there's a lot of money behind this, you know, and the messages of 9/11 Memorial Museum communicates, I'm quoting again, oh, you know, the suffering, remember the suffering, be very afraid, Muslim extremism and the boogeyman, we have to protect our freedom, praise the heroes. Yeah, while Philip Zelikow, traitor and Israeli agent, executive director of the 9/11 Commission and primary author of the 9/11 Commission report, Zelikow's conflicts of interest include being a protege of Condoleezza Rice, who was a core member of the Bush administration. And also, Zelikow himself wrote a university thesis entitled Creation and Preservation of Public Myth. Okay, you can't make this stuff up. The 9/11 Memorial and Museum offers interactive lesson plans for students in grade 3 to 12 and address the 9/11 attacks, their ongoing repercussions, and their history of the World Trade Center. You know, how much can you lie to people? The lesson plans are divided and, you know, by grade and by theme below. Listen to this. You get warning signs of the attack. Then you get the evolving threat of terrorism or what happened on 9/11? You know, the featured lesson plan in big letters, the local heroes. What is a hero? And how can people show gratitude to those who act heroically in their own communities? Grade 3 to 5. And the theme is memorializing 9/11. On another show, I actually said, and I thought I was right to say it, that like we created this entire lie. All of us did. We killed over 3,000 people and sickened thousands more on 9/11 because we, I'm saying we because of our inaction, because we let it happen, because we don't do anything like I'm trying to do today. And more people should take to the microphone if they're brave enough. It's time now because they're really going to come after dissidents, as I call them. And doing nothing is an action. We have somebody on the line that we don't want to have waiting because I really don't want to have them wait too long. Francis from North Carolina, you're on line two. Hello and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Al. I'll try to make it short, sweet, and quick for one thing, and have a great weekend and play hard. And stay mischievous. After all, D.C. does it all the time. Anyway, as far as the commentary about that this corona bug did not take as many lives as was anticipated, maybe because the aspect of it being a test run to see what the people's reaction is going to be or not be. So for future reference, with other viral bugs that have been bioengineered, given they've unraveled a human genome back in the late 1990s, they can tinker more with the genes and figure out how to get the combination right. Regardless of the political meanderings of how they do the laws or whatever to mandate this, mandate that, which they can shove up their backside along with their injection, right? For that matter, you'd be surprised at what they may try to pull next. The only thing is people need to wake up. Don't worry about the coffee. That's not going to do you any good because it's probably engineered anyway. And simply pay attention to what's going on around you. Don't act like an ostrich and stick your hand in the soil because you're not going to see what's going to hit you in the back end and take your tail.
Exactly. And I just want to throw something at you right on the lines of what you're talking about. I'm so glad that you mentioned that because it made me go, blink, compartmentalize. I just remembered something from mid-1970s. I don't want to say the year because I don't remember. I want to say 1975, but I'm not sure. 25 deaths from the H1N1 vaccine, and it was pulled off the shelf real quick. 25 deaths. Oh, my God. Look at how many deaths we have today. Hello. You know, Fauci tried to do that 10 years ago, and it didn't work.
I recall that. It was whenever they think, well, for one thing, they got the pockets well layered with money for whatever the case might be, no matter what sector of the government it is, regardless. So quite frankly, they don't care as long as they can pump something into somebody. And quite frankly, as far as that part goes, I had heard a priceless comment to the effect that government intervention ends at the skin level. In other words, you try to inject something in the body without my permission, guess what? You might not be able to be sued, but you can certainly get the crap beaten out of your tail.
Well, you know what? It's called rape. Because you impregnate anybody against their will with anything, it's rape. And that's what I'm saying very clearly.
In that case, there's a lot of that going on in society now, and people are just ignoring it and just saying, oh, what can we do? There's a lot you can do. It's called paying attention and taking action against the idiocy. Anyway,
and
with my
educating.
Corona, if you will, I'll have lime, coconut, and pineapple.
And I'm going to have a coffee just for you after that one. And I can't I can't thank you enough for calling.
Play hard. Later.
Thank you. Okay. And folks, we're kind of getting close to wrapping it up. Just remember how easy it was to distribute an experimental injection all over the world, while for decades we've been telling everybody how difficult it is to get millions of people food and clean water. Okay? And this is part of something that is called quick think that I was going to do, but we don't have time for it. I can throw a few of them at you. The only reason why government would want to disarm you after 243 years is because they intend to do something that you would shoot them for. Hello? Jason Kristoff says it really well. Corrupt ruling groups are paying teachers across the world to sexualize our children because very evil people in the positions of power want to have sex with these overly sexualized children. In psychology, it's called grooming. Now they are grooming the world over, disguised as altruism, inclusion, gender equality, and child education. It's an open pedophile-based attack on our children, like it or not. Meanwhile, just avoid sunlight and fresh air as much as possible. Trap bacteria and germs in your face for over 8 hours. Watch TV and news propaganda daily and instill a sense of anxiety and fear in your children? I don't think so. All of the above, polar opposite. And think matriarchy. This is Luca Mino thanking everybody for listening and being a part of the show. And we'll see you next week. Have a good week.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.